There is only one black member of President Trump's cabinet. He is Dr. Ben Carson, the Secretary of Housing and Urban Development. He's also on the coronavirus task force, and he's made himself available for an interview with us today as protests over the police killing of George Floyd have spread across the country. Mr. Secretary, thanks for joining us.
A pleasure. Thank you.
Well, I want to first ask you, as the only African-American in President Trump's cabinet, what have the last several days been like for you?
Well, I think not only as an African-American, but as an American, period. You know, seeing what happened in Minneapolis is horrifying. And, you know, I, like everyone else, want to see justice here. You know, I'm glad the Justice Department is looking into it. I hope there will be some rapidity with what goes on, because I think people are very impatient. This is very clear cut. It's seen right there on the screen across the world what happened. So it's going to be pretty hard to excuse that, quite frankly. So I am very disappointed with the fact that people have used this as an excuse to vandalize and tear up the neighborhoods of the people who are so vulnerable and are least able to afford such things. And, you know, I understand the anger and the wrath, but I do not understand why they can't see that they're hurting the very people they purport to be standing for.
Well, many of the protesters believe that that is a distraction from the main movement that is going on. Most of the people who've been out in the streets have been peaceful protesters, and that focusing on the few who have been vandalizing takes away from the larger message of systemic racism that people are protesting against.
Yeah, but unfortunately, though they may not be the majority, they are wreaking havoc on people, and we have to stop that from happening. Do we have to look at maybe this as an opportunity to engage more in the discussions about racism and unfairness that occurs? I think we would be smart to take advantage of this time period to do that.
Well, what did you think of the president the other day using force to clear peaceful protesters from in front of the White House so he could cross the street and pose for pictures in front of St. John's Church with a Bible? The Episcopal Bishop of Washington said it was an outrage. As a person of deep faith yourself, how did you feel about it?
Well, again, the majority of the people there were probably peaceful protesters, but as I'm sure you probably have heard by now, there were those who were throwing bottles of frozen water, pipes were hidden along the pathway, and bricks to be utilized. And all of those people were told by loudspeaker, starting at 6:30, to clear the area. Some of the peaceful ones did clear the area. Some of them refused to clear the area. And if you're going to have the president walking through that area, it needs to be cleared. It was said that tear gas was used. It was not. It was pepper balls and smoke canisters.
Well, the chemicals that were used are commonly referred to as tear gas.
But they're not tear gas. And here's my point that I try to make on all of these situations. We spend so much time getting into our respective corners and criticizing each other and fighting each other. When will come a time when we can actually use these opportunities to bring light? You know, it was Martin Luther King who said, darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. He said, hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that. Somebody is going to have to begin to emphasize those very things that made such a dramatic improvement in our society and not revert back to, you know, tribalism and hatred.
Well, would you say that to the president as well, who has, you wouldn't have to look very, Well, have you said that to him?
I say that to everybody. And, you know, the president and I have many conversations. I do not quite understand why so many people think he's hateful when you look at the things that he's done over the course of his life. I don't understand it.
Well, what about when he said just the other day, when the looting starts, the shooting starts, which is a direct quote from a police chief, a racist police chief back in the 60s. Isn't that seen as hateful to you?
Well, that was borne out. It looks at the people who, in fact, had been shot, who were coming in to, you know, pillage people's property. That, of course, is going to happen because people are going to try to protect their property. Now, when that hateful official said that years ago, he was talking about something completely different.
Secretary Carson, are you going to be leading a new White House task force on policing? That's been reported.
We're talking about some of the various things that we can potentially do. You know, what we really want to do is something constructive. You know, rather than just fighting and belittling each other, let's talk about what we can do as a society that will help everybody to be able to live together, to work together effectively, and give everybody appropriate opportunities in our country. Let's level the playing field for everybody. That doesn't mean that we pick one group and we say, you're evil, and, you know, let's gather the forces against you. It means we want everybody to be successful. That seems to be something that's very difficult for some people to understand. It has to be their group that is special. And if it's not, then, you know, you're being hateful. We can't do that. We have to recognize that people are people, and they all deserve to be respected, and they all deserve equal rights.
Who are you thinking of when you say some people are thinking that their group has to be special?
That's a general statement. I'm not talking about anybody specific, but we've reached a point in our society where people like to take a group and say, this is the group du jour. And, you know, everybody else is right, sir. Secondary to theirs. And that's not what America is. That's not what we should be about.
Secretary Carson, as you know, this is all happening in the midst of the pandemic, which is hurting the Black community disproportionately hard. You are a member of the president's coronavirus task force. Black Americans dying at nearly three times the rate of white Americans in this country. Why do you think that is, and what are you doing about it?
Well, thank you for asking that question, because that's a very important issue. You know, the coronavirus outbreak has shown a spotlight on the fact that certain minority communities, Blacks and Hispanics especially, are dying at much higher rates. Why? The obvious answer is because of the comorbidities, you know, hypertension, diabetes, obesity, asthma, et cetera. But you really have to go to the next layer beneath that and say, why do those things exist more in those communities? If you don't address it at that level, you're just putting a Band-Aid on it. So that means we have to address housing. That's why I've had such a big emphasis on affordable housing and on removing those barriers that prevent us from using the technology, the innovation that we have, to be able to build affordable housing. And we're going to continue to really emphasize that very strongly. It means we have to look at people's health care needs over the long run. They have to have long-term health care if you really want to have an impact. Yes, it's nice to come in with the brigades of people and taking people's blood pressures and saying, you know, we're going to do diabetic screening. But unless you have that long-term continuous care, you're not really doing anything except making yourself feel good. We have to be.
Well, so why is the administration then arguing in court to invalidate Obamacare? Because isn't that about getting people long-term care, especially people who otherwise would not have health insurance?
Well, you know, there are some who feel that that's the answer. There are some who feel that maybe there are better answers. You know, ask yourself just this question. How much money is spent every year on each person in Medicaid? The answer is about $9,100. Is there a better way to spend that much money to make sure that people get the kind of care that they should have? Those are the kind of questions that should be asked by all of us, rather than just, you know, grasping onto one particular thing and saying, this is the answer, and if you're against that, you're a bad person.
You brought up housing. You established a moratorium on foreclosures and evictions for homes that expires at the end of this month. Do you think that that should be extended, or is July 1st the appropriate moment for Americans to start paying their rent or mortgage or face consequences?
Well, we're already in the process of assessing that question. And obviously, if more extensions are needed, they will be granted.
I just want to finally ask you just a couple of questions about coronavirus. Are you prepared as a member of the task force for a second wave of the virus? And do you think states will have to shut down again if there is a second wave?
If is the key word there. Because it's not clear that there will be a second wave. But if, in fact, there is, obviously, we're much better prepared for it now than we were previously, both in terms of PPE, in terms of understanding the virus, understanding how to live with it, how to minimize its spread. I think it still is incumbent upon us to emphasize to people that the guidelines are necessary and appropriate in terms of social distancing, in terms of wearing masks when you cannot social distance, in terms of hand washing, until we have eliminated the threat or until such time as we have effective vaccinations or cures.
Do you believe there should be political conventions in August with tens of thousands of people in arenas?
I think what we really need to ask ourselves is, do we have other possibilities? What are the ways that we can still maintain safety? And, you know, let's work with our medical professionals and public health officials to figure out if there is, in fact, a safe way to do that.
So it sounds like you're saying probably not in arenas with tens of thousands of people.
Unless we can come up with things that are consistent with what we know are safe practices.
That is Ben Carson, the U.S. Secretary of Housing and Urban Development. Secretary Carson, thank you very much for taking our questions today.
It's been a pleasure. Take care.